Hi, this is Gary Washburn, pastor of Grace Tabernacle. Thank you for tuning to our podcast today. Our hope is that this message inspires you and builds your faith. For more information about Grace Tabernacle and our ministries, please go to gracetab.org and like us on Facebook. Now, may the message feed your soul. Okay, so where do I get to start here? Jim and Phyllis, right here. This is Jim and Phyllis Ozturk, and I want to ask our elders, I should have asked you, come on up too, and Paula, come on up and join. We like to pray for new members. These are new members to Grace Tabernacle.
Thank you.
We welcome you. We love you. And they've been battling, going through some physical things, both of them, since they started coming here. You know, the devil really does everything he possibly can to harass, but you're here today by the glory of God, and you've experienced the healings of the Lord, and I've asked Jim to sometimes in the near future to share his testimony, because Jim was a Muslim.
Ex-Muslim.
Excellent. He was. And he was on his way to Mecca.
Yes, I was.
You're on your way to Mecca, and through a strange course of events, God intervened, and he couldn't go. He went to a Christian church, heard the gospel, thought it was the greatest thing he ever heard, and he gave his life to the Lord Jesus Christ.
So, 32 years ago.
32 years ago. How about that?
My whole family.
His whole family. Praise God. He's got an awesome taste. There's a lot more to it. I told him it ought to be a book because it's really like a movie. It's really great. So he'll share his testimony with us one day. But Jim and Phyllis, we welcome you. We love you already, and we welcome you both. And we're glad that you are part of our family here. And we welcome you. And elders, if you just lay your hands on me in church, as we do here, just pour the love of God out upon folks. Just stretch your hand toward them and pray for them and bless them. The Bible tells us we have the power to bless with our mouths, and so we bless them in the name of Jesus. Lord, may they just experience overwhelming love of God through God's people here. May this be the place they flourish and spread out spiritually. May this be the most fruitful time of their life, and we thank you for them, and we receive them as blessings from God. In the name of the Lord Jesus, and everybody shouted, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, guys. We love you, and welcome. Welcome to our family. Amen. And elders, you might as well just stay here with me for a moment. A couple other things. I want you to notice this man right here, who probably doesn't like standing here in front of everybody. He works behind the scenes. This is a dear friend and a neighbor of John Moorhead, who's working up there behind the camera. And I went several months ago. We had a board of directors retreat over in Titusville, and there's a church there that I've been acquainted with for many years. It's the church where Peter Lord was a pastor, and we became friends. And in their prayer chapel, I noticed that they had these prayer walls, like you see, identical to this right here. And I was intrigued by that, and I thought, we need that. And I was thinking at that time, we need a prayer chapel. And then during the fourth watch prayer service, and I was sitting right here on those steps, the Lord brought that back to my mind about 2, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning, whatever it was. And he said, you don't need a prayer chapel. This is your prayer chapel right here. And he said, it needs to be on that side and that. He said that to me. I didn't hear an audible voice, but he made it clear right there. I could see that in my mind just as it looks right now.
Wow.
There and there. And I thought, wow, God, how do we get one of those? So I began to talk to John, who knows everything in the world. And he's a brilliant guy. I showed him a picture. I said, that's what we need. How can we do it? He said, I'll get it done. I'll find somebody. And he found you, a neighbor,
amen,
who had the skill. And that is identical. Oh, my goodness. I mean, it couldn't be more identical than those right there. But God gave you skill to do this for us. And he came in volunteering on his own to do this and spent many hours designing it, putting it together. Don, we can't thank you enough. And just as a, there's no way we could pay you for all that, and you didn't ask for a dime. But this is a gift of love from this church to you. We appreciate you. And may we pray for you. Then elders, just gather around. And God, we just thank you for a man who is so willing to volunteer and step into a task that he'd never done before. And you gave him wisdom, and you gave him insight, and you gave him skill that he pulled up from years ago. And you knew that there'd be a day and a time that he'd be doing this for this church. We can't thank you enough for Don, but we pray you bless him wherever he is spiritually with you, that you draw him closer to you and help him to know how much you love him. And we appreciate Don, and we thank you for him. We bless him now, and we thank you for Don. In Jesus' mighty name, let everybody say amen. Thank you, Don. God bless you. You can be seated, brother. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. No, no, you're not going anywhere. No, no, no. Y'all stay. Because this is some awesome stuff. Now, you can sit down, brother, if you want to. Thank you, and Jim and Phyllis. Now, I want to bring front and center, Dennis. Hold on. This is Brad and Kathy. Kathy and Brad. Say hello to them. And they have an awesome testimony. So I don't know which one of you want to speak, but if you could just tell us, it happened to you, so you might as well tell it. Or do you want to?
She's shy.
She's shy. Okay.
I don't want to mess it up.
Okay. You be Moses and you be Aaron. Hold it close to you and tell them what happened.
We are one, so it doesn't matter who tells the story.
That's right.
But anyways, I'm going to keep it short because this could be long.
That's right.
In 2018, Kathy had eye surgery, and to fix a wrinkle on her eye. Who would have thought we'd get wrinkles on our eyes?
I know.
But she did, and back then the surgery didn't go as planned, and kind of left her without seeing very well in her left eye. And we kind of lived with that. We prayed about it, and we just kind of kept going with it. And she was able to function. She was a nurse for many, many years. And we came down to the Villages a couple years ago. As we approached the beginning of this year, Kathy started to develop headaches, and not knowing why. But she never had headaches before. She was never sick before. And the headaches persisted for months. And back in February of this year, her eye, that was not so great, but she could see out of it, started to lose her vision in that eye, to the point where we would go to the eye doctor, and we met with quite a few here in the Villages. She couldn't see even the E. She couldn't even make out the E on the wall. And we, like I said, we met with a few doctors here, a couple of ophthalmologists, and all three of them were confused of what happened, why, you know, not sure what to do about it. So I had a good friend of mine tell me to go to the best doctor in the in Florida, which is down in Miami. And so we were traveling down there a couple weeks ago, and about halfway there, we got a phone call from the office of the best doctor in Florida, letting us know that the doctor was not going to be able to see us the next day. So we were disappointed, of course, but we prayed about it, kept going, and as we went to the office, they had another doctor. I call him Doogie Howser. He was pretty young, and before we met with him, the the technician was checking Kathy's eyes, and she said, "Why are you guys here?" And I explained that she can't see out of one eye, and we're trying to figure out what's the best way to go. And I was hoping to meet with the best doctor in Florida. And she checked her out, sat her down, had her look at the eye chart, and I said, "You know, she won't see that eye chart with her glasses on or with her glasses off." And she persisted and went forward and covered her one eye, her right eye, and with her left eye with her glasses. And of course, there was no E. She couldn't even see the wall at that point. Then she took her glasses off, and I wouldn't believe it if I didn't see it myself, sitting there, and she goes, E, she goes down, CJ, goes down, 3, 4, 5 lines. And she could see 2020. This was amazing. And the woman turns around and she goes, she can see. I said, this is a miracle. She was blind, but now she sees.
Hallelujah. Woo! Come on, church. Give God the glory. That is awesome. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. That is awesome. You happen to be holding a microphone that says 5 on it. 5 is a number of grace. Here you are at Grace Tabernacle, sharing the grace of God with people. You know, when God, what God has done for one, he wants to do for others. And so you prayed, you trusted God. And I know how Barbara had a connection with you, too. She prayed for you. And then the manifestation of healing from blindness to healing came. That glorifies God. I'm glad you told the doctors and the people that, because they need to know that. And but what he's done for you, he may want to do right today for somebody else. So if there's somebody in here today that has a similar situation with some kind of blindness in an eye or eyes or whatever, would you mind just standing where you are? And we're just going to pray and believe God for you. What he's done for them, he can do for you. This is to build your faith, folks. This is to build your... When you hear these testimonies, this is to build your faith. And elders, you guys join me. Let's all just, congregation, just stretch our hands and believe for healing of these eyes. He's already done it in Kathy. He'll do it for you. He's the God who restores sight. And if you can believe and if you can receive, then right now with your mouth say, I believe... I receive my healing. And that song we sang, it's already been provided. So just by faith, appropriate with words and actions, and declare your healing is here. Receive it by faith. And your words, let your words agree with God now. Start speaking by faith. I believe, God, you are my healer. You're my healer. I believe you. I trust you. Thank you. Thank you. You got to speak it out, folks. Out of your mouth. I believe I have received my healing. Thank you, God. Now, make sure your words stay lined up with God. Don't nullify a prayer of faith with negative words and unbelief. Just keep believing. It was a process, but it came. Praise God. Thank you for sharing that testimony. God bless you. Thank you.
By the way, her headaches are gone.
Praise God. That too. Take it all. God bless you. Thank you, guys. Thank you so much. And one more dynamic, mighty man of God.
Okay. Tell well, them. I'm going to try to be quick about this. The first healing I want to mention is my friend Dan, my golfing buddy. About 6 months ago or longer, you remember when I came up and I said I was interceding for Dan and you prayed for him? Mm-hmm. Well, 4 months later, let me back up. Dan's wife is best friend of my wife, Peggy, for 40 years. And Peggy and her sister both had husbands that died of pancreatic cancer. And Dan was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer, stage 4. Wow. He had to go through months and months of treatment and I don't know what all. The first symptom that came on him is he couldn't play golf anymore. He had back aches and back pain. So anyway, we talked him and his wife into coming to church with us, and they sat in the back row. And I told Dan we wanted to have him come up front for prayer. And He was timid, he was shy, he was scared and all that. And so I said, well, I'll go up and intercede for you. So, Pastor Gary prayed for him.
That's all right.
Intercession.
Thank you.
And 4 months later, Dan was clear of cancer.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. And just last week, he saw his oncologist back in St. Louis. They moved back to St. Louis from the Villages. He saw his oncologist there, and Dan wasn't totally filled with belief. He had some unbelief, but praise God, I talked to him about keeping his faith and keeping the belief, and he got a clear report from his oncologist back in St. Louis just a week or two ago. So awesome. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God.
That is awesome.
The other thing I wanted to mention is healings in the food pantry line. We had a healing this week. Curtis told me that he'd been to his doctor, and he has a clear report. No cancer anymore. He had cancer down here in his stomach, and he's completely clear of cancer. And week before last, Cindy, who was here on Wednesday night, I don't know, you weren't here then. Barb was in charge of the service that night. Barb and Peggy laid hands on Cindy and prayed for her, and Peggy gave her a cross, and she's healed. She, we discovered that she was misdiagnosed. They were treating her for sinus infection, and it turned out she's got six teeth in her mouth that are all causing problems and leaking stuff into her system, including mold and mercury, I believe it was. And she's healed. She's on her road to recovery and knows that she's healed. Praise God. And the one other one that I can think of is Charlie over here this week. He's a food pantry customer of ours. And Charlie, God bless you, and thank you for coming back to church and participating in the service here again. We welcome you back, Charlie. And Charlie was healed this week from pain in his hand. He couldn't even move his hand, and he was healed this week. Praise God. Thank you, Charlie, for coming. And I think that's it, Pastor Gary. Well,
no, it's not it, but there's more. But thank you for sharing. You know, I'll tell you, there are miracles and signs and wonders happening all around us. And we need to take note of that. And it's God is blessing us with a time of miracles and signs and wonders. And your own healing.
I forgot about my own healing. I had a back pain, and I couldn't hardly walk. I didn't play golf for 4 weeks, and I had sciatic pain down my left leg. And one of our friends, Barb, and her husband gave me this blue ointment to put on it, and it would work as long as I had the ointment on it. And I got up one day, happened to be a Tuesday, the day that I prayed for the people at the food pantry, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me that morning. You taught me how to do that, and I wrote it down in red. And the Holy Spirit said, "Dennis, you can just walk through this." So I believed. I went walking around the house. I showed up at the food pantry. I walked for 3 hours praying for people, and no pain whatsoever. I didn't get hot. I didn't sweat. I had the air conditioning of God all around me. And you know what? I haven't had to worry about it since. I walked through it, and I'm healed. Praise God. Praise God.
That is awesome.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you, brother. That is precious. Hold that close to you.
You know, as we're listening to this, Psalm 27 says, "The testimonies of the Lord are sure, making wise the simple." Mm-hmm. And that is a powerful verse, because the simple, I just consider those who don't know about the Lord. Mm-hmm. And you tell a testimony. How can anyone argue with that?
Okay.
When you couldn't see, now you see. You know, you couldn't walk, now you walk. Yeah. You know, whatever it is, it makes wise the simple.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have a testimony, a powerful testimony, it doesn't matter. Powerful to me is anything God's done to heal you. We're talking healing right now, especially. We want to build faith in that area, because it is a right of a child of God. It is just a right of the child of God. So I want your faith to keep growing as you hear healing testimonies. So
Amen.
If you have one, write it down on a little thing, show it to us, and we'll have a few every Sunday,
yeah.
Probably.
We like to give God the glory.
Because that way people's faith
Amen.
Grows.
Amen.
And then they can receive healing
yeah.
because they have the faith now
Amen.
To receive.
It's true.
So
that's good. Good, honey. Thank you. Now, Pam has been dealing with some knee issues, and so there, through a course of events, she was not able to have certain procedures done and so forth. So we looked at it, we looked to that as God saying, no, wait, trust me, let me lead you. So sometimes you walk through a process, but it's okay. It's okay. But you stay in faith. I know the elders ever say, man, why are we still standing? Because you're good-looking people, and I want people to see who our elders are. We got the best-looking and the best-anointed elders on the planet.
Oh, sorry about that, Pastor. But as y'all were giving the testimony, most of y'all know that my daughter went, well, most of you might not know, my daughter has a tumor on her nerves and her brain. And through her faith that she is believing God for her healing, no matter what the doctors have told her, right. Her face is beginning to straighten up. Some days it drew, she said, but God, I thank you for it. Some days she's in pain, but God, I thank you for it. That's a process.
That's a process.
Like the woman with the issue of blood. She had to go through a process to get to where she needed to be, where the Father can heal her. So in that, just to build your faith, even though her face may be distorted at times, she still give God the glory. No matter what it looks like, no matter what the doctor says, that's faith.
That's faith.
That I'm going to believe what the Father said, that I am healed by His stripes. No matter what it looks like.
Right.
No matter what it feels.
That's true.
I believe.
True.
Thank you, Lord. And that girl is powerful when she talks about her, what's going on with her. It's all God. But I did want to say something quickly. He mentioned my knee. Well, on the way here, I don't know what it is about when I'm sitting in the car. Maybe the position, I have no idea, but the pain gets so intense. I mean, you can hear me hooping like, oh, like in the car. Thank God no one's in there. But I'm like, oh, and I'm rubbing it. And it's so intense. And so I just really had enough. I mean, I was like, this is not going to continue. And I had a fit with the enemy in the car. And I said, you just get your filthy hands off my body. I am a daughter of the King, and I absolutely am healed, and I'm whole, and He didn't make knee pain.
Amen.
And so anyway, I want you to know it went away.
Praise God.
Well, the rest of my drive, and I thought, oh, thank you, God.
Thank you, God,
because it's really intense.
There's a part of faith. We have to resist the devil. We still have to resist him, you know. God does already done what He's going to do. He expects us to believe Him, but we do have to resist the devil. So you do have to fight the good fight of faith, you know. And I just want you to see these elders up here. You had a great financial breakthrough this week. Totally a shocking surprise that we had prayer about, and God exceeded your expectation abundantly. Praise God. Answers to prayer. We need to glorify God. And these elders are going on, we're going on an elder retreat next Sunday, and we're praying specifically for God. What is your prophetic revelation? What is your vision for Grace Tabernacle? What's next? And I'd like you to join us in prayer about that this week and next week especially. We're going away just to pray together and spend time together and discuss this very thing. God, what is your prophetic vision for this church? What's next? We've had almost 20 years. We're thankful for it, but you got something. What's next? Just tell us the next thing, God. That's all we want. So I just want you to see our elders. They're the greatest people. We love you. You are awesome. We could not do this without you. Thank God for you. Amen. Amen. You can go now. Oh, how precious. We are so blessed in this church, guys. I cannot tell you that enough. I've been talking about prayer. That's why those words are up on the platform. And the subject of prayer is absolutely vital. We'll do that in a little bit, Richard. Okay, thank you, brother. I can't tell you how important prayer is. Everybody prays, but everybody doesn't really know how to have a really good prayer life. And our life is to be a prayer life. The Bible says pray without ceasing. That doesn't mean you're running your mouth all the time talking to God. That means that you're supposed to live in a
in a state of prayer, of awareness of God, or, and communion with God and fellowship with God. Prayer is talking to God, but it's also listening to God. And it's vital that you know how to do that. But most Christians I know really struggle with having any kind of quality prayer life. They pray, but there's not, there's, you know, they don't have a, what they would say, a quality prayer life, where they have the joy of seeing an answer to prayer that comes about that just lights you up. And God wants you to have that. He wants to help you in your prayer life. Most of the failures of the Christian life result of a prayer failure. God would help you and wants to help you, but he wants an intimate relationship with you. And prayer is not just something you do. It's the intimate relationship that God wants to have with you. And today we're looking at the model prayer. And we've talked about different aspects of prayer, and we'll talk about that in a moment. But I want to give you a quote by a man by the name of Ron Rollhauser. And he said, "What eventually makes us stop praying is simple boredom, tiredness, lack of energy. We're human beings, limited in our energies, and chronically too tired and torn in various directions to sustain an effective prayer life based on feelings or emotions. We need ritual, routine, and rhythm. Show up regularly for prayer and Bible meditation." And I'd say a big hearty amen to that. It's not, you can't wait till you feel like praying to start praying. Prayer has to be a rhythm, a part of your life. It is a routine. It is a ritual to some degree that you are to have a plan, have a place you're going to meet God. And I'm just thankful now for 40 plus years of being born again that the Lord has it's a habit. It's part of our life. I can't imagine getting up in the morning and not starting our day off with a time of a cup of coffee and the Bible and prayer and just time with God in His Word. It's just a part of our life. I mean, I don't care what we do, however schedule changes, even if we have to get up extra early in the morning to leave or something, it's like we go spend that first part of the day with the Lord in prayer. And I tell you, it has made a huge, huge difference in our lives. So when we look at Jesus was asked by His disciples, they said, "Would you teach us how to pray?" They saw that His prayer life was the most significant thing about Him. They didn't say, "Would you teach us how to do miracles? Would you teach us how to preach? Would you teach us how to raise the dead? How to restore sight to the blind?" They didn't say that. They said, "Would you teach us how to pray?" So that should say a lot to us that evidently prayer ought to be the priority of our lives. It ought to be the thing that we ask, we're going to God and say, "Teach me. Teach me how to do this. I don't know how to do this properly. I don't know how to do it the way you do it." And they watched Him. They watched Jesus take off early in the morning and go and be alone with the Father. They heard some of His prayers. And so when they said, "Jesus, would you teach us how to pray?" He said, "Sure." And He went right into what we call the model prayer, "Our Father, which art in heaven." And He never intended for them to use that as just a dead ritual. You can say that prayer in 30 seconds. It was a model, like a model home. It was intended to, here's a guide, take this, and now customize it, put your own needs in there, put your own revelations in there, but this will help you stay on track, because when you start praying, the enemy comes in to try to distract you. And he'll get your, and next thing you know, you're over here thinking about all your plans or whatever you're going to do or your vacation or whatever. And God knows how we are. We need something to help us focus on. So He gave a prayer track, so to speak. And the model prayer is that. It's like seven demarcations where you start to pray here, and then you allow yourself and the Holy Spirit to bring out some personal things. And you start off with "Our Father, which art in heaven." And we've dealt with this already in previous messages, but you start by focusing on God. Who are you talking to? Do you know who you're talking to? I mean, we need to just wake up in the morning and realize, wait a minute, I'm going into the throne room of heaven, and I'm talking to the Creator of the universe. What privilege do I have to be able to do that? Do you really believe you're talking to God? And then the next part of that is, "Hallowed be thy name."
That's something that you're to think about. What, how has God revealed himself to me? He's revealed himself to me as a father. He wants to be my father. But there are revelations in the Bible, and you can go through the Old Testament and you discover where Abraham discovered about God something he didn't know. He discovered that God wanted to be his provider, Jehovah Jireh. And that revelation was when he discovered that God was a provider, he realized that God wants to be my provider. And today you've heard testimonies of healing. You've heard that God is a healer. He's Jehovah Rapha.
Amen.
And you discover with that, he wants to be my healer. Amen. He wants to be the one that I go to first for healing, the one I go to first when I need provision. He's a father. He provides well for his children. You know, in the Bible, it says that King Asa, in the Bible, the Bible says King Asa died with some kind of disease in his feet. And it says he died because he went and sought the physicians rather than the Lord. And another man, another king of Israel, was named Hezekiah. And he got some kind of horrible disease, some kind of boil infection in his body. And the Bible says he turned his face toward the wall and he prayed. In other words, he cut out all the distractions, turned his face toward the wall, and he prayed. And the Lord healed him. He began to seek the Lord, and the Lord healed him. Yes. I'm telling you, it's not wrong to go to physicians. It's not wrong to go to doctors. But you first go to the Lord.
Amen.
He's the first one you go to. When you need healing, he's the first one you go to, not the third one. When you need provision, he's the first one you go to. And so forth. And so this is when we're hallowing the names of God. We're taking time to remember, God, who you are to me, who you've revealed yourself to me. And we begin to praise him. Thank you, God, for being my healer. Thank you, God, for being my provider. Thank you for being my righteousness. And then last week, we jumped on the next demarcation. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth now as it is in heaven. So what you're doing is that you are bringing kingdom order to your life. You are declaring in prayer. Jesus said, I want you to pray this way. You pray this over yourself. You pray this over your family. You pray this over your church. And you pray this over America. You're praying, thy kingdom come. God has an order.
Amen.
God has priorities. God has a will to be done. And you pray this over yourself and over your family. Jesus said, this is how you pray. You first start off with focusing on the person of God. And then the second thing is you focus on getting your priorities in alignment with him so that his kingdom can come on earth as it is in heaven. And when the kingdom is manifested in your life, there's healing. When the kingdom is manifesting in your life, you're healed from blindness. When the kingdom is being manifested in your life, demons are cast out. Jesus said the kingdom is among you when these things happen. So you're beginning to see little pieces of the kingdom come on earth in this church right now in Grace Tabernacle because people are praying, thy kingdom come. We welcome the kingdom. We receive the kingdom, and we want thy kingdom. And you're basically praying this. When you say, thy kingdom come, you're saying, God, I'm willing to be made willing. I want to get in alignment with what you want for my life.
Yeah.
Thy kingdom come.
Yeah.
What is God's will for your life? I know you ask that and you think, but what is God's will for your life? That's the question. God has a will. He has a wonderful plan for you. He knows what you're going through. He knows the cancer that you're battling. He knows the issues in your family that you're struggling with. He knows the finances and so forth you need. And God could snap his finger and make everything come in alignment. You say, well, why doesn't he do that? Because he wants a relationship with you.
Amen.
He wants you to get to know him in a way that you don't know him yet. And he's not using bad things to teach you lessons. That's not the way he is. He's a good father. He's got everything you need, but he wants you to know that, and he wants you to learn to come to him. And so he tells us now in this prayer, now, after you got your priorities straight, you prayed the kingdom of God come and you align with my kingdom, now let's talk to me about your needs. Give us this day our daily bread. Jesus taught us to pray that.
I want you to come to me, and I want you to look to me. Just as the children of Israel did in the wilderness, they got daily manna. They got bread from God, bread from heaven, that sustained them in the wilderness for over 40 years. Daily. They would go out daily and they'd get manna. And if they went out and they got greedy and they thought, well, I'm going to get a little extra for tomorrow, the scripture says that that manna rotted. Worms. God was trying to teach him a lesson, as he's trying to teach us. I said, look to me for daily needs. Depend upon me. Believe my word. And that's what he wants from you. He wants you to learn daily dependence upon him. You know, the scripture says that God already knows what you have need of before you even ask it. Isn't that amazing? So then why ask? Because he wants a relationship with you. He wants you to learn, I have to depend upon God. I cannot do what I'm doing without the Lord. I saw one preacher a couple weeks ago, and I agreed exactly with what he's saying. He was saying, you know, this is how I start my day right here, like this. I start my day on my knees so that I can also stand when I need to stand. I start first in prayer. If you don't have a prayer life, let me tell you what you're doing in the face of God and may not know it. You're doing like this at the beginning of the day. I don't need to do that. I can handle it. I'll provide. I'll take care of it. I don't need to do that. Now, you may not be intentionally doing it in your mind, but that's what you're doing. You think you don't have need of him. You think, I can do this without him. I don't have to have a prayer time. I don't need to talk with God. If I need God, I'll call him. And that's the arrogance of the human being. It doesn't start his day with prayer. We need to pray. Jesus said, my house will be called a house of prayer. And so we need prayer. And God says there are promises in his word that he's waiting for us to believe and go appropriate by faith. His divine power has given to us everything that we have needed. He's already provided. I love that song, Michelle. Thank you so much for bringing that song to us. He's already provided. He's already provided the healing. It's waiting for you to believe and receive. He's already provided the provision. He's waiting for us to go in and know how to receive that by faith and appropriate it. His divine power has, past tense, given us all things for the life that he has for us and a godly life. Do you believe that? Amen. Well, if you don't, you need to go talk to God about that, because he says he's already given it. And so when we come to God in prayer and we come to that moment where we're praying, give us this day our daily bread, we're talking about, I have needs, God, that you know of already, and I want to talk to you about it. And so there are four basics to praying in and receiving what you need. And this is just basic stuff here we're talking about. First of all, when you go to God and you ask for provision, you need to be in the will of God. Why would God finance foolishness? Amen. God, I need to be in your will. I need to get my life lined up with your kingdom and your will so that you'll provide for me for life and godliness. God's not interested in financing foolishness. He's interested in financing and meeting your needs according to the plan he has for you. So he just wants you to get in agreement with him. So when you pray in the will of God, it implies four things. Number one, when you pray in the will of God, it means, first of all, if you're in the will of God, it means that you have fellowship with God. You're fellowshipping with him. You know, he created you for the purpose of fellowship. He had angels, but he wanted you. There should not be a day go by that you not spend personal, intimate, alone time with God, because that's what he wants from you. The will of God is that he wants to have personal time with you. You say, I don't know what to say, or I don't know what to do. That's where most Christians are. That's why Jesus gave a model prayer. So we'll start with this. This is the basic. And talk to God the way Jesus said to talk. Second thing it implies, if you want to know you're in the will of God, is you fellowship with God's church. You ought to have a church home. Amen. You ought to have a church home, that a place you regularly feed from. And you ought to belong to it. You ought to get involved in it. And here's the deal. When you get involved in a church and get involved with people around you, they're the greatest people in the world, but sometimes a brother and a sister is born for adversity. A lot of people don't want to get involved in church because they got hurt or they got the feelings hurt or somebody offended them or whatever. And look, any family relationship, anybody living under the same roof is going to rub each other the wrong way every once in a while. Amen. Anybody married know what I'm talking about. Amen. I'm not looking at my wife when I say that, but I just... you're going to have some adversarial times. And you're going to have to learn how to make up. Yeah, you're going to have to learn. It's just part of being in the family is learning how to reconciliation. People are going to rub you the wrong way. People are going to treat you the wrong way. They're going to say the wrong thing, or you think they are, or whatever. And you can't let the devil come between you, because his method is always divide and conquer. And number three, to be in the will of God, you need to have diligent work habits. It would be silly for you to stay home and be praying, "Oh God, help me, provide for me. I got to pay my electric bill." And you're not out doing anything to provide for yourself. Amen. Now, I know physically, if you're not able, that's a different thing. But I'm talking about people who are healthy, and they should have a job, and you're just being lazy and wanting to live off of somebody else's dime. And you pray and think that God wants to provide. No, he wants you to learn how to work. Amen. And even if you're retired, which is a wonderful thing, and that's a great achievement to get to that place in life, you never retire from the work of the Lord. Amen. Some of you, even though you're retired now from work, you still should have a job. Amen. You should have a job either in the church or in ministry, or you should have a job to whereby you can even make extra money that you can give to other people as the Lord shows you. Amen. Some of you got way too much time on your hands. Do you know that the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah, the main sin of Sodom and Gomorrah, was not homosexuality? That's what it's known for. But the main sin, the culprit behind the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah, was that the people had too much money and too much time on their hands. You can read it in the Bible. And that's a danger. King David, a man after God's own heart, he got in trouble when he stayed home when he should have been out where God wanted him to be in battling and warring, and he stayed home and he started watching HBO. And he caught a glimpse of Bathsheba and he couldn't turn it off. He had too much time on his hands. It might have been Sin to the Max. I don't know which one it was. It was one of those channels. And then you need to be obedient. God's will is for you. I'm just giving you very simple basics, because there might be some people that need the basics. And that is obedience and giving. You make your giving not something to get. You don't give to get. If that's your motive, if I give this money, God's going to make something great happen. Don't give. Hang on to it. Amen. But when you give, it's an act of worship to God. I'm releasing this so I don't learn to be selfish. I'm learning to give God the first 10%. I believe in tithing. I'm a grace man all the way through. But I believe that in the new covenant, we are not under the Old Testament law. We're under grace. But tithing didn't go away. It actually went through the cross. And on the cross, it's even greater. It didn't stop at the cross. It continued. But it's now we give not because we're afraid we're going to get cursed, because Jesus took the curse for us. You can't be cursed if you're born again. But you can live under the symptoms of the curse. And we don't need to do that. We need to live under the blessing. Deuteronomy 28 tells you, if you just read that, all the ways God wants to bless you. He wants to abundantly bless you. He wants to bless you. You're going in, you're coming out. He wants to bless you every way possible. He just blessed your socks off this week, the Steedleys. He just blessed your socks off exceedingly abundantly, didn't he? He just blessed your socks off this week. He wants to bless you. You got to believe it's God's will to prosper you. Preacher, do you believe in the prosperity gospel? It depends on what you mean by prosperity gospel. I believe God prospers and he wants to prosper you. He wants to exceed your level of expectation. He does me. He's proven that to me. He gave me a word. He says, I'm going to give you exceedingly abundantly above.
And that's not just finances, it's material things, but it's favor and blessing wherever you go. God wants to show you, I want to prosper you. The life I have for you, I want to prosper you. If you don't believe that, you need to read Ephesians chapter 3, verse 18. He tells you, I want to go beyond what you can even imagine. That's how great I want. And when you pray about specific needs, then this is the time of prayer where you bring specifically, God, I need this in my life. And be as specific as possible. I've seen God answer prayers that right down to the penny financially, that somebody said, I needed this, and they had a decimal point with pennies on the end of it, and God gave exactly that miraculously. And there was no way for that to happen other than God. God just wants to exceed your expectations. But then you also got to be tenacious. In prayer, there's a difficulty of fainting or spiritually getting weak or getting tired or getting discouraged. You say, I prayed about this so long and nothing's happened, but God wants you to be tenacious. You got to learn how to pray tenaciously. And you can read about Luke 18. Jesus said, it's my will that men should always pray and never give up. So that's why we're emphasizing this word right now. God wants to enhance your life and wants you to become a prayer person. Person of prayer, a house of prayer. He wants you to learn how to pray. Prayer exercises faith. You got to believe that God exists. You got to believe that you're meeting alone with God. When you get in the room and shut the door and you start talking to God, you got to believe that He's there. You don't see Him, you don't feel Him, you don't touch Him. You may not hear anything, and the Bible says in Hebrews 11:6 that's faith. Man, you're exercising faith because God says, I am here. I never leave you nor forsake you. I am your provider. I am your healer. And so you've got to be diligently seeking God. You can't be wimpy on this. You've got to become people of prayer who really believe that you're meeting with God. And then you also got to believe it's your responsibility to learn how to receive from Him. If He says He's your provider and you have a need, it's your responsibility to learn how to receive by faith. Amen. Faith is what God said, see, in what He's saying. This past week, I was intrigued by listening to a preacher, and he brought out something in Romans 10. And in Romans 10, the Bible says that faith cometh by hearing, and by hearing the word of Christ. Faith cometh by hearing, and hear, and the word, he didn't say faith comes by having heard. Faith comes by present tense hearing and hearing. You don't just hear one time, but you keep hearing. I'm hearing and I keep hearing. I'm hearing. Present tense. I'm hearing from God is speaking. The Spirit is talking to you, not in an audible voice, but through the Word, through a preacher today. God is talking to you through a flawed man like me. That is awesome. Amen. God is talking to you through Scripture. God is talking to you through circumstances. He's talking to you through your neighbors. And husbands, He's talking to you through your wife. And wife, He's talking to you through your husband. Children, He's talking to you through your parents. I mean, God's talking, but the question is, are we listening? Faith comes by hearing and hearing. And then that scripture says, well, how shall they hear except they have a preacher? And how shall you have a preacher unless he's sent? And it goes on to say, you know, listen, you know, I'm doing what I'm doing because I believe I'm sent by God to do this. There's no other reason. Amen. If I wasn't doing this, I'd probably be the best Walmart greeter that Walmart could ever have. But I'm sent to do this. Just like Jesus said, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. He was sent to be the forerunner of Christ. I believe in my heart for 40 years now, I've been sent by God to proclaim to you what God's will is for your life. I'm sent by God. But you got to receive. You got to receive and believe that the words that God is giving me, and sometimes while I'm preaching, like even right now, I'm not using any notes other than the PowerPoint I prepared up there. God puts things in my heart to say right that moment that I hadn't prepared to say. I go back and listen to my sermons, and I get fed by listening to my own sermons. I say, man, that guy's pretty good. I want to go to church where he's at. He's pretty good. I'm serious. And I'm not, you know, talking about all me. I'm saying that God speaks through me to you. But you got to come here prepared to receive. You can't stay up late Saturday night and be all tired and drag yourself in here Sunday morning and be tired and fall asleep and not be able to hear and receive. You've got to listen. I believe that God sent this man to speak into my life. Then I need to pay attention. I need to write down some things. I need to talk to God about this. And that's just the way God works. He sends people into your life to tell you things that you go, wow, I didn't know that. That's just amazing. And we believe in the fivefold ministry. The apostle, the word apostle just means one sent. That's all it means, one cent. A modern-day missionary is one cent. Prophets, we believe in the gift of prophets. God has people who are prophets who speak into our lives. God's used Barbara to speak into my life before. And others of you who are prophets. Evangelists, pastors, teachers. That's what I am. I'm called to be a pastor. That's nothing more than a shepherd. And I'm called to speak to the sheep. Feed the sheep. Feed the sheep. Feed the lambs. And that's what I do. When I'm giving you this word, it's not something I've just come up with on my own. It's through prayer. God, you lead me. Give us this day our daily bread. What is the daily bread? Let me tell you, first of all, the first bread is not physical. The first bread is spiritual. When Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, he said, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And that word for word of God, there is the word rhema, a personal word from God, quickened by the Spirit to you. God has a personal word for you. Even though there may be 200 people sitting here today and everybody's hearing the same word, God will take something out of this word and personalize it and send it right into your heart. You live by that. You don't live by just reading the Bible. You live by getting a word from the Spirit of God into your heart, and it just lights you up. Remember last week we talked about the throne of God? The throne of God, it represents, he's like a diamond, he's like a sardius, and he has an emerald rainbow around him. God's throne is light. He sends light into you to show you where you're in darkness. God's throne is love. He sends love to you, not condemnation. He loves you. He wants you to come to him. And then he sends life into you, green. He sends life into you. When you come to church, you should walk out of here a little bit stronger, a little bit healthier, because you got life, you got love, and you got life, the life of God in you, light, love, and life in you. You ought to be better. Now, Jesus said this. He was out preaching to a multitude of people. And I find this funny. It's humorous to me. He's out preaching, and he says, I am the bread of life. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood. Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. Because whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. That means the life of God. And whoever feeds on me will also live because of me. He said this out with a big crowd of people, probably about like this. And most of the people, having heard that for the first time, thought, what in the world is he talking about? Cannibalism? That we got to eat his flesh and drink his blood? This is the craziest thing I've ever heard of. And Jesus didn't bother to explain it. It was a hard saying, and the Bible says it was a hard saying. Some of them were saying, this is hard. Who can believe this? And many turned away as a result of what he said. And Jesus didn't run after them. He didn't say, let me explain this to you. He let them go. Because when you receive a word of God, it's going to take a level of faith that goes beyond your understanding. You know the God who loves you. You know the God who is light. You know the God who gives life. When he says something you don't understand, you've got to learn to do what Proverbs 3 says. Lean not unto your own understanding or your reasoning. Trust in the Lord with all you. I may not understand it right now, but it's a word from God. That's all I need. And you walk through that thing. You have to fight the good fight of faith. That's your part. When the children of Israel came to the edge of the promised land, it wasn't sitting there waiting without enemies. It was filled with enemies who, as the Bible says, were mightier and stronger than them. And God didn't go in and wipe out their enemies. He intended them to fight for what God told you is yours. If healing is yours, you're going to have to fight to hold on to that. If God said he'd meet all your needs, you're going to have to fight the good fight to keep believing that. And the devil is always after you to talk you out of it, make you doubt, make you afraid. Come on. But you've got to learn to do something. You can't just be passive and be a Christian and walk in victory. You've got to be aggressive. So Jesus said this weird thing, you've got to eat my flesh and drink my blood. And he saw a huge crowd. I mean, what would happen right now? I'm preaching, I say something that it's off the wall, you don't know what in the world I'm talking about, and half the people in the church get up and start to walk out and say, well, I'm done with this. Well, the rest of you that stayed, you'd be thinking about, well, maybe we need to go to Cracker Barrel right now too. I don't know. His disciples even questioned. His disciples said, what in the world is he, what is he talking about? And then later on in the upper room, Jesus got 12 and he explained to them what he's talking about. He set them down and he said to them, every time, as often as you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. And he said, this bread is my body broken for you. This cup, it has my blood in it. It's for the remission of your sins. So he explained what he was talking about to them. And we have, as a result of that today, what we call communion, which we're about to partake of right now. So Jesus made something. First thing he did was call him back to the cross. When we come to communion, as often as you do this in remembrance of me. Now, if you came in this morning and you don't have one of these communion elements right now, just lift your hands. Our ushers are so gracious. They're ready to give you. They'll come real quick. We all want to do this together. This is very intended to be very deep spiritually. You can receive your healing in communion. Did you know that? It's not a meal like you sit down to dinner and have dessert and appetizers and all that, but it is a meal. It's called the Lord's Supper. We actually come and feast on him. And right over this way. Thank you. Now, if anybody's not receiving, just raise your hand. They're coming to you. Thank you, Richard. Thank you, ushers. You're so kind. But I want to point out something before we go into this. This is very important. When you have communion, the Bible says, as often as you do this in remembrance of me. Are we going to forget the Lord? Of course not. But the scripture says, let a man examine himself. What Jesus is actually telling us to do is he's bringing us back to the cross. He's bringing us back to the place we started with him. He's bringing us back to that moment of faith and time where we looked and we believed finally on the cross that Jesus actually is God who died upon the cross to take my place. So he's taking us back to the cross. Do you know, in the Old Testament, in Numbers, I think it's 22, out in the wilderness, the children of Israel were grumbling and complaining about this manna that God was supernaturally providing food for them. And you imagine, they got tired of it, and they were complaining to God about, having manna. God, give them manna every day. God, we'd like meatloaf. Can we have some meatloaf? We're tired of this. And they complained. And it really angered the Lord. And the Bible says God allowed, he sent vipers among the people, snakes, and they bit the people. And they would die, get very sick, and many would begin to die. But the same, and the cause of it was grumbling, complaining about the provision of God. God, is that all you got? And these vipers were sent, and people were dying. But at the same time that God sent the vipers, he also sent a cure. Amen. Exact same time. He told Moses, "Moses, I want you to fashion a pole. Make it bronze, which represents judgment, that I have judged this and I have the cure for them. And put a bronze serpent on that pole. Wrap it around it. It's our modern day medical symbol. You go to the doctor's office, you see that medical symbol? That's what that was. And it was bronze, and it's lifted up. And he said, and anybody who looks upon it in faith, believing me, they will not die from that serpent bite. They'll be healed. So simple. And God provided the healing. He provided the cure. And then we go to John, right before the famous verse 16 that everybody knows. But John, verse 14, I think it is. And there's a scripture. Jesus says, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. I used to think that meant lifted up in praise. No, it's talking about the cross. Jesus was declaring, if I am lifted up on the cross, I will draw men to me, because they're looking for a cure. They're looking for healing. They're looking for help. And I will draw them to me. And if they look to me in faith and believe, I will save them. And then God said, right after that, he said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So all that was in the cross. I say that to you, when you come to communion, you're remembering something. In communion, take the bread now. You're being brought back to the cross. Jesus is my bread from heaven. Jesus died for me. Jesus is the manna from heaven. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
He is. Now hold on to that for a minute. We'll do all this together. I want to say this right now because it's a critical point. You have got to come to a time in your life where you realize that. Because you could be religious, you could go to church, you could have been baptized, you could be doing a lot of things, and believe in God even, and not be born again, not be saved, not receive the Spirit of God. In other words, you could go to church all your life and wind up in hell one day.
Amen.
Because you haven't received. You believe, but you didn't receive. The step of receiving is by faith. Faith always says things that God says. The Bible says, if you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, that he's alive right now, and confess, agree with God with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, he's alive, he died for me, but he's alive right now. He took my place on the cross. He took my curse. He took my sin. He took my sickness on the cross. When you say that and agree with God, that's faith. But you got to say it. You confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. See, believing's not enough. I don't know if anybody ever told you. The Bible says demons believe and tremble. You've got to agree with God with your mouth and your heart. And right now, it could be before we go another step further, could be that moment. If you're here today and you're not really, you've never heard what I'm talking about. This is new to you. You mean I got to receive Jesus? Yeah, you have to. John 1:12 says, but as many as received him, not just believe in him, receive him. To them gave he the right, the authority, the power to become sons of God. It's a supernatural thing. We've got to do it God's way. So it happens like this. You believe, and then you tell God, I receive. And I'll lead you in a prayer right now. In fact, to make it a little easier, would everybody just stand at this moment, please? And for the ones here today who've never received, this is your moment. God will make you righteous with Him through the blood of Jesus, not through your acts of righteousness, not through your religion, not through your good life or good works. It doesn't work that way. It only works God's way. The Bible says that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one, no one comes to the Father except by Him. So if you're going to be right with God, you're going to come to God, you're going to come His way, not your way, not religion's way, not Oprah's way, not Dr. Phil's way, not anybody else's way, not even your way. It's Yahweh. You're going to come His way. Amen? So it happens that way. So right now, I want to ask, if you haven't or you're not sure, then that means you're not in faith. You need to just settle that issue. It's a gift to receive right now. Just bow your head. I'm going to lead you in words. You say the words in faith back to a God you can't see, but He's right here with you. Say something like this. Oh God, I believe that Jesus is God who died in my place on the cross to pay for my sin. He took my curse. He took my punishment so I could go free. And right now, I ask you, Jesus, be my Savior, be my Lord. I confess you, I receive you as my Lord and my Savior right now. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Live your life through me. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. Now, before you sit down, if there's somebody here today that said, this is it. I just sealed that deal with God. Praise God. That's awesome. I'm not trying to embarrass you. I'm not going to make a spectacle of you. But if you just prayed that prayer, would you just lift your hand up right now and just praise God. I just settled that matter. I just settled that matter with God. Thank you. Good. Good. Even if it's one, thank you, God. Thank you. That's awesome. Now you have confidence. Now you have faith. Now go ahead and be seated. And so the communion is to be the meal that reveals. Every time you go to the communion table, it's a revelation of God, His great love for you. But it's also to be the meal that heals. The same faith it took for you to get salvation is the same faith that takes you to get healed. It's no different. It's no different. And there's not only the word salvation actually means deliverance from sin, payment of sin, but also healing, deliverance from demons, all of that. So you receive it all at one time. And you can, but if you have to believe. Matthew 8, when evening came, they brought to Jesus many who were possessed with demons, and He cast out the spirits with His word, and He healed all. Everybody say all who were sick to fulfill what was spoken by Isaiah the prophet 700 years before the time of Christ, that He Himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Now, do you believe that? Then if He took it, you're not to bear it. You're to believe and receive. You can do that right now. Now you have that element, the elements before you. Go and open up the juice part as well. And then we're going to have a prayer. I've already given an altar call for salvation. And after this, I'm going to ask the elders to come up and just be, and prayer altar workers come up and be. We're ready to pray with people about anything you have need of because we're a house of prayer. But now we're going to receive communion together. And I want you to pray this prayer. And bring it up on the screen right now as we, the prayer before receiving communion. I want to say this out together out loud. Father, I receive this bread and this juice of the grape. I ask you to lift from me the infirmities and the sicknesses that Jesus took and bore for me. I ask you to bring strength and health to me spiritually, emotionally, and physically because of this new covenant. I receive it all by faith, and I give you the praise and the honor in Jesus' name. Amen. I receive it by faith. As you receive it by faith, you can receive that healing that you're seeking God for. Just receive it by faith. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. And now make sure your words agree with God. Don't claim sickness. You may say, well, I'm dealing with something other. That's fine. You're dealing with it, but it's not your arthritis. It's not your heart condition. It's not your knee pain. Otherwise, you're claiming ownership. No, Jesus bore it. He's teaching me to walk through it. I'm receiving my healing. Emotionally as well. When Jesus took the crown of thorns upon him, he took all of our emotional pain, depression, mental illness, all those things. It's all in the cross. So the communion is to bring you right back to the cross. The ushers will be at the door, and they'll receive those little cups from you on the way out. You can give that to them. Now I want to ask you to stand, and our elders, our altar workers, all of our altar workers, come up front. We're going to have prayer for people. I'm going to pray the blessing upon you, the Aaronic blessing. And as they come, look, it's been a great day to be in the Lord. There's so many things happening here. You've heard testimonies of people being healed of stage 4 cancer. You've heard a person personally talk about blindness in the eye, and automatically God is healed and she can see. You've seen nothing is impossible with the Lord. Your faith should be soaring right now. You can believe God for anything, and there's people that will help you. Sometimes you have to have people help you to believe God, and they're here to pray with you in agreement. And these are mighty people of God. I'm going to ask you to come up in a moment in prayer for anything. Let them minister to you. Now lift your hands up, and I'll pray for you. The blessing that God said, Moses, you tell Aaron to speak this blessing, and when he speaks it, I'm going to put this blessing on the people. And God put it in the Bible for us to use. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face smile upon you and be gracious to you and give you his peace and his healing and all the gifts that he wants you to have here in this life. Your provision is met. Everything you need has already been provided if you believe and receive in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Happy Lord's Day. We'll see you Wednesday night.